And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
That sounds good. Sounds good to my ears. I'm not getting any echoing. It's nice and fine, and we'll all be happy. Well, it was my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Edna DeVries, who is mayor of the city of Palmer. Welcome, Mayor.
Hi. It's nice to be back.
Well, I'm thinking that at this present time in September, we've had an incredibly long run of good weather. Now, you've been here a long time. I've been here a long time.
Right, yeah.
But I remember I can remember 1980, because 1980, we moved into a new house, and you were familiar with that house.
I am.
And I can remember in the first week of September, looking at the grass, and it was frost. I mean, it just stuck with me. There was frost in the first week of heavy, hard frost. And at the present time, what we're seeing is temperatures recently that reached high 60s into the 70s.
Yeah,
and it has an effect upon people, and certainly on me, to be outside and the rest of it, and all the the leaves are beginning to turn, but they're not. So we're coming into that time where, once again, we're at a season change, but yet it feels a little bit different because it's not doing what has been commonly experienced.
Yeah. We were joking at work today saying that maybe we're going to get the summer we didn't have this year. Because the last couple of nights, I know, we were out till about 9 o'clock, you know, coming home from someplace, and it's like 56 degrees outside.
That is true.
You know, and so that's, you know, very unusual.
Yeah. Okay. So having said that, describe that situation. I'm curious if we can spin off from that, and as we look at this budget year, for example, we're in September.
We are.
You know, the goal is December to have the budget finished.
Right.
Whether you see significant changes in the budget climate, if you will, that somehow matches up with what we've been seeing recently outside in the sun.
I don't know that we have any, you know, big things coming up. We finished the project at the airport and at the wastewater treatment plant, and of course we're not getting any capital monies, you know, from the state. Don't anticipate getting any of those in the year 2019 either. And so I think our budget's pretty much just going to be maintain the services that we provide. And we would like to do some paving for some of the streets in Palmer. And so we're working with some of the neighborhoods where people are saying, you know, I'm tired of this gravel street. What can we do about it?
Right.
And so we're starting to work with those. We have a new pedestrian crosswalk going in by the Yak. There on Arctic in North and South Valley Way. And so we hope to get that in. And I don't know how long we're going to put up with what's going on in the Glen Highway for this year. You know, there's a portion that was closed and the intersection of the Glen and the Palmer Wasilla. And, of course, that's a very busy intersection. And So outside of that, there's not going to be too many different things. You know, our sales tax, which is our largest revenue, has not fluctuated that much. Will be some small growth, probably 1 or 2%. But again, we don't have any large stores coming in or anything like that to make that a change. Whether we will have revenue sharing or not, although that's less than, you know, it's been right around 50,000, so it's not a, it's always welcomed, of course. We're very happy to have it, but it's not a big influence upon our budget.
Well, two questions I have, one relative to the work on the streets. I noticed that the utilities work has crept into the city. Mm-hmm. It had been along the Glen because of massive right. relocation of utilities
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Curtula Farm is no longer a farm.
I know, yeah.
And all the rest of that. But also, in speaking to some of the business owners, I noticed that they've pretty much sold right-of-ways.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. the utilities along the south side there, as you cross over the Glen coming from Palmer Wasilla, mm-hmm. Are being relocated, redone
right.
In preparation for some work on the road as it leads into town.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question I had, well, that was a comment more than a question. And the other question I had, is it too early still to have any sense of how the fair did? Because the two metrics, in fact, Neil Fried, I saw recently, asked that question. He said, Do we have any information yet about the numbers, mm-hmm. the sales at the fair, et cetera? Anything on that?
We haven't because the sales tax is generally, you know, a month behind.
Okay.
We will here within the next week or so be getting August's figures, and then we won't have September's figures until October. And I have not, the city manager hasn't given us a report at the city council meeting of, you know, there has been a big fluctuation or not. So
okay.
I don't have any feedback on that.
Yeah, my top of the head observation was that we had the first Saturday a very good day at the fair. We mm-hmm. had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of the last days of the fair.
Right.
I measured that by the overflow that goes into the accessory fields for parking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to indicate that, yes, there were certainly a lot of people that came,
right.
whether it's up to the close to 300,000 mark and all, we don't know that. Okay, we'll be checking in later to see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back briefly to the budget and
okay.
this, in the sense that I know watching the council that each year, even though it may not appear that there's a specific item mm-hmm. that is being sought for funding from the state, mm-hmm. there are items that are on the list when it seems apparent that money would be available.
Right.
So you
right.
think about that. What are the top ideas that the city would like to do and may be soliciting, if not from the state, from other sources to have accomplished as capital improvements, for example?
Yeah, I'll go back to the airport. As you know, we had, you know, a big, large paving grant that we just finished, and also some, we got a supplemental for some apron paving, and we just got another grant to purchase some snow removal equipment that will be just designated for the airport, which will really help, because before Public Works was sort of balancing between, okay, do we do streets or airport first? And so that will really be a big source of delight for the people out at the airport, I think. And
right.
And then I know Frank, the airport manager, is working on another grant that he would like to see out there. So we are doing some researching for some other places besides the state. All of those grants are from FAA,
right.
which is federal. And we'll be looking at some of those. We still do have some of the old steel water lines, a couple short sections that we would like to take and replace, because the ones that we have replaced over the last few years, we've found, you know, fistful size
sure, right.
holes in them. And, of course, that costs everybody money. And with their water bill, and as well as it's just a waste of the resource. So so there's some of that we like, would want to do. And of course, we're always looking for some areas to annex to for the city of Palmer.
I'm glad you brought that up. having lived through a number of efforts over the years to mm-hmm. do annexation, and having that not happen, really, not much significantly
right.
done, at least.
Mm-hmm.
There, it keeps coming up because many people look and say, well, it would make sense mm-hmm. to finish this off. What's your general opinion about how annexation could be successfully done for the benefit of everybody involved, both the city and those who are being annexed.
Yeah. Well, the first thing we look for, of course, are the easy ones where the owner wants to come in.
Oh, sure. Right.
And that's pretty well slam dunk. But I think that also ties into just Senate Bill 91 and the crimes that are going on. And, of course, we are concerned about that in the city as well as the surrounding area. So depending on maybe how this ballot question goes for the borough about where they're going to ask, you know, if the borough should do some more or move forward into policing, you know, having police powers. And so if that would go, now whether they would contract with the cities or whether they would form their own force, or if it doesn't go, then I think the people surrounding close to Palmer, you know, would probably like that protection. So I think that would be one area that would be mutually beneficial to the property owner as well as to the city, because as you know, if the crime rate outside of the area is kept at a low part, then it doesn't seep into the city. And so I would think that would be one area that we would certainly look forward to.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I'm curious also about the relationship that the city of Palmer enjoys with other entities around. And I'm thinking about three in particular, the borough itself, because the borough surrounds Palmer.
Sure.
But I'm also thinking about two other municipal entities. One is the city of Anchorage.
Right.
And also the city of Wasilla. And I know that you have meetings with mayors here in the valley.
We do.
Have you also been involved in any meetings and discussions with the city of Anchorage, or is that in the hands of the borough?
We haven't. This term, when I was mayor of the borough, we did, you know, have meetings with the mayor of Anchorage at that time. But as mayor of Palmer, closest interaction that we've had the most recently is on the Railroad Task Force.
Okay.
And because they are a person that there, and even if the mayor doesn't show up from Anchorage for those, then he has somebody, you know, from his department or his personal, you know, assistant that comes. And so that is about the only issue right now that is on our agenda that we do have some close conversations with. And
and I know that part of those conversations in the past, whether it was involving the railroad or mass transit, involved the reality that in Anchorage there's a developed transit system, buses and so on, to move people around.
Right.
I'm curious about your sense about Palmer. Palmer has a kind of a participation in mass transit, has over the recent years. But it, for example, I don't believe there is a bus that regularly goes each day directly from Palmer to Anchorage.
No, not that I know of. Now, we do have the vans. In fact, at least one of our council people either rides the van or drives it, which is part of Anchorage's municipal transportation.
Okay.
And I'm not sure the other council person does. I think he drives his own vehicle. So that is one option that we have, you know, for really for the city of Palmer just to be piggybacking on the grants and the availability of what Anchorage offers. But there, I don't think the People Mover, now that's been combined, right? Yeah. Hasn't it? The People Mover and the...
Right, and that's something we'll have to explore in some depth, because I couldn't give you specifics except to say I personally have taken the People Mover bus from its stop there at the regional hospital parking lot, because that's relatively convenient. It's about a 7-minute drive out there, and then you can take the bus in and back, and that's, that can work. And the question, I guess, is I know there's been a discussion about how nice it would be to have some kind of mass transit that actually flowed directly from somewhere close within Palmer. Some people have looked at the fairgrounds and said, well, right. there's both a station there, but more importantly, there's a big parking lot there.
Sure, right.
And that's so important. Even if you had buses right. that went, a bus that went, people could easily get there, park, and take a bus in and back and so on. Mm-hmm. But you're not aware of anything at the present time that's
No, I'm not, and I don't know of anything that they're thinking about. I would assume, you know, if there's enough demand, then, you know, they would set, you know, one up. And like you said, that the parking lot for the fair, if that was agreeable to them, that would be a great place to, you know, be able to house the cars while the people were in Anchorage. And so, I don't know of any plans that they have.
And then a related kind of question, I've noticed from time to time that there certainly is a taxi service it's available within Palmer.
Right, right.
I have not, because it's a little difficult to observe, notice anything in the way of Uber or Lyft or those others. And does the city have ordinances that either encourage or prohibit an Uber type of car sharing within the city?
We don't have anything that prohibits it. There was a state law that passed, not the last legislative session, but I think the session before that, that gave the state really the right to regulate that and to set the insurance requirements and things like that. But I'm like you. No, I mean, it's not like the pizza delivery man where there's a sign on top of the car saying, right. you know, I'm an Uber driver. And so I'm not familiar with that. But that would be a good question for me to ask the city manager to give us a report at one of the city council meetings because those people, I would assume, would need to purchase a business license because they're in the business and they would be needing to collect sales tax and remitting that. But that would be the only opportunity that we would have to be able to check any of that outside of just conversations with people that they would say, well, I use this or
sure,
not something.
Sure. So. And almost in a related way, I noticed that introduced was an ordinance totally revising, replacing the B&B legislation right. that had existed with a short-term rental
right.
Piece. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that also, whatever form it takes when it's finally passed, would also have all kinds of business license and checking of fees and
sure.
so on that are associated with that as well.
Right, yeah. And that would be the only way, again, that we would know if somebody was renting out their extra bedroom or their basement or something on a short-term rental basis, would be just the purchase of the business license and the sales tax.
If you think back over the years, back, some decades ago, I'm trying to think back, Palmer, a smaller place, was there ever a time when the city had the kind of, and I guess I can't go back and you can to the 30s and 40s when it was originally formed. And the idea of renting a room to someone, for example, did it exist in the city in the early days or ever? Or has there never been that kind of short-term rental here in the city of Palmer?
I don't think so. Now, of course, probably maybe in some of when you're talking about going back to when the colonists came, I would assume probably some of the single farmhands maybe they wouldn't pay for the rental of the bedroom, but it would be included in their pay. Okay, you're going to get paid this much, and that's going to include your room and board, and this is your bedroom
right.
or your bed or whatever it is. But I won't, as you're talking, I'm trying to think if we even had, quote, I'll call it old-time bed and breakfast in Palmer. Did we, within the city limits? Can you?
I'm not aware. It seems to me the ones that I'm aware of that grew up more recently have been in the borough.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the borough has allowed both bed and breakfasts and longer-term rentals,
sure.
small
right.
places, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So probably not. So the city is probably moving into a new ground here.
Right, we are.
Because my understanding is that at the present time, there really aren't a lot of B&Bs under the old guidelines that exist.
Uh-uh.
There are some,
right.
but there's not a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But you know, really, you know, we don't, and good for a good reason, don't go walking door to door, knocking on doors, asking people if they, you know.
So tell us about who's living here.
Yeah, yeah, right. so
okay. Well, I've asked us a whole series of questions here as we've taken a look at the city and the present and looking toward the next few months or year. Anything in particular that you would like to share with listeners as we come toward the end of today?
No, I don't think so. I just appreciate the people that continue in Palmer to have such a great community spirit and partake in all the activities and the businesses that, you know, keep us sort of grounded and keep Palmer being Palmer. And But I can't think of anything else. The Glen Highway, we just ask for everybody's patience. If anybody's lived through any kind of construction, whether it's, you know, in your house or your cabin or what it is, knows that that's not a very pleasant experience. And so that's going to be with us for, you know, probably a good, well, they will probably, if this weather continues, they'll probably, you know, continue for another month or 6 weeks, and then, you know, not too much probably till next spring, but, you know, for then probably 18 months after that. So it'll be wonderful when it's all done.
Right.
But I know at work, where I work, they talk about, okay, well, let's see now, if they close off this intersection, how are we going to get there, and how, you know, because we work over close to the airport. So so there's lots of that. So I just appreciate everybody's patience on that. I think the highway department's been trying to get out onto Facebook and some of the more social networks to give people input and notices of closures and things like that. So we were looking forward to that. And of course, it's football season, and
that's
so
true.
The Potato Bowl is going to be coming up here in a couple weeks, and so we look forward to beating Wasilla in the Potato Bowl.
Here's the question. Mm-hmm. Given the warm weather, will there be a Colony Christmas this year?
Yeah, I don't know. That is a question, isn't it?
Or will it look different? We're guessing that maybe snow will come at some point. I know it is coming down the mountains.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be, but hopefully it won't be one of those Colony Christmases where, you know, the wind was blowing 75 miles an hour and it was 30 below, you know. So,
sure. Got that.
So, yeah.
Well, Edna DeVries, mayor of the city of Palmer, I really thank you for coming in today and sharing some observations about the city. We look forward to having you come back another 6 weeks or so.
Okay. Thank you. I always appreciate coming in and talking about Palmer.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks, providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.